Alright, so last week, but the last time that we learned together, we gave a somewhat of a start on the 10th principle. We talked about what the focus of this principle is, the idea of God's knowledge, and we basically discussed that there's something which comes before the 10th ikkar, which was the first ikkar, which is the fact that God is actively maintaining existence at every moment, and existence at every moment comes directly from God, and therefore God's awareness and, I guess, for lack of a better term, foreknowledge of what happens in the world is somewhat basic to existence. If God is creating existence at every moment, then obviously he knows what's going on. The fact that God is, you know, aware of what's happening in the world, so that's kind of implicit in the first ikkar. So we discussed last week that the 10th ikkar is really actually somewhat in contrast to the first ikkar. The first ikkar is the idea that God is aware of everything. He's, you know, Tzafoi Meirosh. He knows everything ahead of time. He knows everything before it happened. The 10th ikkar was saying that despite that fact, God takes interest in what happens in the world. God cares about what happens in the world. God watches what people do, even though in a very formal logical structure, it doesn't make any sense that God should really care about what happens in the world. A, because he knows about it ahead of time. There's nothing that can happen that's, you know, surprising to him. For starting from the moment the world was created, it's, you know, as far as God is concerned, it should no longer be of interest. And B, the fact that really, we discussed more at length last week, that it's not just that God happens to know, but God is really responsible for everything that happens in the world. So how could God care about what happens in the world if he is ultimately not just aware, but responsible, the cause of everything that happens in the world? That's, so to speak, the chiddush of the 10th ikkar, is the fact that God has continued ongoing interest in what happens in the world, despite that he is in absolute control of what happens in the world. So, the first page here, our cover page, have a little bit of a misunderlining here, because when I made the source sheets, did not have handy my copy of the Rambam of the Pirush HaMishnah, and therefore had to just re-photocopy the previous source sheets first page just to have it there. If I would have underlined it correctly, the underline would have been on the different psukim that the Rambam brings, which is basically starting from the very middle here. Kamosha Amar, right? And he quotes a number of verses, and this is really what I want to focus on today. And today's class is going to be somewhat of a survey of certain points of Jewish literature to see the idea of re'iyah, the idea of sight, as applied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what that idea means. But if you look at the verses the Rambam brings, Kamosha Amar, Gadol Ha'itza, V'Rav Ha'alila, Asher Einecha Pekuchos, that God is the one of great counsel, and Rav Ha'alila, Asher Einecha Pekuchos, that your eyes are open, Al Kol Darhei B'nei Adam, over all of the paths, the ways of mankind. V'amar, and it says, Vayar Hashem saw, ki rava ras adam ba'aretz, that the evil of man was great in the land, by the Mabul. V'amar, and it says, Za'aka Sodom v'amora ki rava, right, the outcry of Sodom and Amora is great, and the continuation of the verse says, Er da na v'ere, I will go down and I will see, right, ha. Something Kale, right? Kala, fine. But he says, I will go down and I will see, right? Hare Elu Moim Al Yesoda Siriyazia. He says the Rambam that these verses, all of these ideas about God's sight, what God sees, God going down and seeing, God looking, God opening his eyes, these are what are indicative of the 10th ikkar. So, I'm going to see today exactly the significance of that idea from a couple of different perspectives, and just to lay down a little bit of I don't want to call it a disclaimer, but just to map things out from the beginning, where we're going with this, but that the last point we're going to see is really not something the Rambam says. We're going to see the same idea from the perspective of how it's expressed in more Kabbalistic sources. We'll see the way the Ramchal in a couple of places expresses the same idea expressed. It's the parallel idea being expressed in the terminology that the world of Kabbalah expresses it in. But that's going to be what we're going to do today, is to see exactly what the idea of Re'iyah is. And that's going to, so next week we're going to talk about exactly what the Rambam was arguing with, what exactly the Rambam's, let's call it, conversation is with the viewpoint that he's responding to, and this will be an important point in that puzzle. We were about to ask something.
The Rambam seems to be saying that God is looking constantly, and you were saying that in the beginning, that it's a constant upholding of creation.
Well, okay, yeah, there's
but all these verses seem to say that God's waking up, like, hey, wait a minute, look, what are they doing?
No, so that was exactly the point. That the first ikkar is that God is always constantly aware because he's always constantly maintaining. The second ikkar is saying that God, so to speak, inserts himself into time. The Ramchal says this in Derech Hashem. We'll maybe see this as one of our sources next week. But that God has, so to speak, chosen to view the world within the framework of time, even though God is outside of time and everything is, but God looks at things as they happen. That is the thrust of the tenth ikkar, the fact that God sees events as if they are, you know, occurring as they, from his perspective, as if it's, you know, occurring as it happens. That's the whole point that God, the whole idea that God is interested in it, is that he treats it as if it's something that's, you know, nischadesh, that, you know, a new piece of information that came down. Anyway, that's going to be an important point to get back to next week when we talk about those philosophies that the Rambam is coming to be distinct from, to counter. Exactly, that's going to be an important point. If you turn the page, so this is not one of the psukim that the Rambam brings, but just to see the Rashi here. Some of these pages are I double sided it. They're not generally, except for the point from the Derech Hashem, where there's a few pages in a row. Everything is individual pieces. So it says this is when Moshe Rabbeinu went off to Midian, and it says that it was in those days. This is in Shmos, the end of Parak Bez of Shmos. Was in those days, and the king of Egypt died, and there was a new king, and they cried out, Vayishma Elokim es Nachasam, Hashem heard their cries, Vayishma Elokim es Briso es Avram es Yitzchak es Yaakov. Last pasuk in Parak Bez, Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim, and Hashem saw Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim, and Hashem knew. Now Rashi here comments, Rashi says, Vayeda Elokim, he's really commenting on both parts of this pasuk. He says, Nasan Alehem Leiv, Hashem, so to speak, paid attention to them, Velo Halim Einav Mehem, and he did not remove his eyes from them, which basically means that God could be ma'alim eno, God could, so to speak, not pay attention to something. God could make himself to not see something, and to so to speak, not be interested in something that's going on. And Hashem chose to actively see what was going on. That idea by Yar Elokim, lo halim enov mehem, he did not remove his eyes, he did not hide his eyes from them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actively focus, so to speak, on what's going on in the world. So the idea of Vayar is that God took interest, he paid attention to what was happening. Right, we're gonna see a little bit more before we stop to put things together. Turn the page. The next source is in Parshas Ekev, right, talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Klal Yisrael about they're going into Eretz Yisrael, the land of Canaan. He contrasts it with how it's not like Mitzrayim. He says the land that you're coming to, Eretz Harim, recalls Lamat Hashemayim Tishdamayim, a land that survives itself from the rain. Eretz Asher Hashem Lokecha Dorish Osa, a land that Hashem seeks out. Tamid Einei Hashem Lokecha Ba Meireshis Hashana Vat Achres Shana. That the eyes of Hashem are always on it, are always in it, are always focused on Eretz Yisrael. Meireshis Hashana Vat Achres Shana, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Rashi here comments, what does it mean? Tamid Einei Hashem Lokecha Ba Liros Mahi Tzricha, to see what the land needs. Ulechadesh ba gzeros, and to be mechadesh, to create new gzeros upon the land. So the idea here of Eretz Asher Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, a land that the eyes of Hashem are always on, means that Hashem is looking to see what it needs now. Which the Gemara, as the Hemshech of the Rashi, the end of the Rashi says, Itim Lartov, Itim Larah, and Itim Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that says that there's a din that happens on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, part of the din of Rosh Hashanah, is Kadosh Baruch Hu determines, you know, if there's going to be a good year or a bad year, if there's going to be a lot of rain or a little bit of rain. But then a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so the Gemara says, so what are we davening for the whole year? We're davening for rain. So the Gemara says that at the beginning of the year, you have a gzeira in, you know, the total amount of rainfall that there will be. As the year goes on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides day by day how that rain is going to fall. If Klal Yisrael, you know, if on Rosh Hashanah Klal Yisrael were being bad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a gzar din that they were going to have a bad year, not so much rain, and then they did tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the gzar din this year was already nigzai, that's going to be a year of not such good rain. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he makes that rain which falls, all the rain that falls, falls exactly in the most effective places to be the most bang for the buck. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it out that within that which they restricted themselves to, they'll get the most that's possible out of that. And the same thing, the opposite direction, if they were very good on Rosh Hashanah, they got a good gzar din, but then they go sour. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make it that as the year progresses, that now that they're not on such a high level, that the rain will fall into oceans and streams and empty fields and it'll be wasted. But the idea of this Tamidei Hashem Lokecha Ba is that day by day, it's every day going to see where are they holding now, and to don them, to judge them, to issue the decree to basically keep up with where they're holding now. That's the idea of Einei Hashem Lokecha Ba. The idea that Hashem is watching it is basically an ongoing process of Hashem is looking now. Where are they holding now? And that's the idea of the Einayim of Hashem. So you see this place, one more place we'll see in Mikra, of where we have this idea of Hashem's sight. We'll see very clearly here the context of the Pesukim, exactly what this point that we're discussing. But turn the next page, looking in Perek Lamed Gimel of Tehillim. Many of you may recognize this from Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos. Says, Mishamayim hibit Hashem. Hashem looks down from Shemayim, Ra'a es kol b'nei Adam, and he sees all of mankind. Mimchon shifto hishgiach al kol yoshvei haaretz. And from his lofty place of dwelling, he's mashgiach, he oversees or he guides kol yoshvei haaretz, all of the those dwelling on the earth, all of mankind. Hayotzer yachad libam hamevin al kol maaseihem, that he created their hearts, and he understands or he knows all of their actions. So the pesukim here very clearly puts that Hashem is Shemayim hibit and ra'as kol b'nei Adam. He looks from Shemayim and he sees everything that's going on the earth, and then mimachon shifto hishkiach, and then from that, he's mashkiach. From that, he guides, he directs how everything in the world is going to play out. And we're going to see when we next week we're going to try and discuss more the Rambam specifically, but in general, we'll talk about the idea of hashgacha, what it means, divine providence, what it means that God is guiding directing the events of the world. But the Rambam very clearly here the Psukim very clearly are tying the two together, that God sees what's going on, and kefi that, and according to that, he's mashgiach, he's guiding what's going on in the world. And that's very clearly this idea that God's seeing is very intimately connected with what it means that God is actively involved in an ongoing process of what happens in the world. God responds to what he sees. God sees, and based on what he sees, he responds and he directs the world accordingly. That's he's ra'as kol b'nei adam and mimchon shifto hishgiach. Right. I'm going to add on one last point before we go on.
Why is the Matsudas Tzion underlined?
Oh, that's right. I underlined the Matsudas Tzion here, right? The Matsudas Tzion really says this very, very clearly. It says, Hishgiach, but he says that Hashem is Mimchon Shifto Hishgiach. He says, Milashon Hashgacha Behisbonenus Rav, which means to very deeply contemplate something, which means you meditate on something, is when you focus on it and you pay a lot of attention to it. So the idea that Hashem is mashgiach means that he's actively contemplating, paying attention to what's going on. That's the idea of this re'iyah that Hashem sees, is that he's paying attention and contemplating and interested in what is happening in the world, and he guides the world according to that. Before we go further, one last thing I didn't put in the source sheet, but there are some who explain, according to this theme of everything we've seen so far, that the pasuk in Azinu? Not in Azinu. I don't remember what the pasuk is, but the pasuk says, "Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov." Hashem alokavi mo truas malach bo. The pasuk says, "Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov." That Hashem did not see or did not look at the aven, the iniquity of Yaakov. So there are some. The Farshim explained that this idea that we're explaining now—that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that happens in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this method of dealing with the world, which we discussed last week. It's something that we can't really understand. If God knows everything that happens and he's really responsible for everything that happens, so what does it mean that he's interested in what happens in the world? But God has this, choosing to take interest in something. God can choose to take something into account or to not take something into account. Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to not pay attention. He chooses to not pay attention to that, and therefore the eternal existence of the Jewish people is because lo hibit aven b'Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the sins of the Jewish people become, chas v'shalom, become so great that they would really deserve to be destroyed, Kadosh Baruch Hu can choose to be ma'al me'ino, can choose to ignore that, can choose to not pay attention to that, because God's knowledge, God's awareness of what happens, and his paying attention to what happens are two different things. So the fact that God will know about it, so that's not what it, lo hibit aven b'Yaakov doesn't mean that God will have no idea that the Jewish people are not behaving. But he'll lo hibit means he won't look at that, he won't take interest in that, and therefore won't take that into account. We have a separate theological discussion about why that is, why that's fair, how that makes sense, but just for our purposes, just in what the words mean, which is what we're trying to just focus on for the moment, that the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing really makes sense for Hashem to take it to pay attention to it. Everything is Tzafoi Meirosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about everything from the start, so why is anything that happens, no reason for Hashem to be interested in it? Hashem chooses to take interest in certain things, and the lo hibit aven b'Yaakov is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to not take interest in that. The Rambam himself, moving past Torah Shebichtav now, the Rambam himself, in towards the very beginning of Moreh Nevuchim, defines himself what the idea of the different lashonos, different words that mean vision, means in Perek Dalet of Chelek Aleph of Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam says, Da, ki ra'a v'hibit v'chaza, these three terms are all about the vision of seeing something with your eye. That's what the most simplest meaning of those words are. And all three of them are expanded. Literally, it means they're borrowed, but the Rambam uses this term throughout the first Chelek of Moreh Nevuchim when he says that the word is, so to speak, borrowed, means it's expanded, the definition is extended to mean more than that, to the concept of whatever the word means extends. So it extends to hasagas haseichel, to something being grasped by the seichel, literally by the intellect. And the Rambam gives a number of examples. He says, he gives examples of where the word means the simple understanding of just that God, of somebody seeing something. But then he says, he brings examples of the Amar on the second part over here, the top line of this little second section here. The Amar, the Libi Ra'a Arbe Chachma Vadas, my heart saw a lot of Chachma Vadas, a lot of wisdom. V'zeh Asagas Sichlis. This is obviously talking about grasping something intellectually, right? Your seeing wisdom means I was able to perceive it, to comprehend it. And this meaning of the of Re'ia is what it means whenever it's applied to Hashem. And now the Rambam gives a long list of psukim which refer to seeing Hashem, refer to other people seeing Hashem. And that means, does not mean that they actually see with their eyes, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have a body. So these all mean, whenever we have this idea of seeing Hashem, it means being masig something, grasping something, comprehending something. But the Rambam brings one of his examples. Right, there was an old game on part of Sesame Street, which one of these things is not like the other. So the Rambam, in one of his examples, he's Ra'isi es Hashem, I saw Hashem, Vayai lav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. Skipping this one for a minute, Harini nas kodecha, show me your kavod, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, they saw the God of Israel. Right. However, the Rambam has one example which is different than the others, which is the one that I skipped over and underlined. Vayar Elokim Kitov, and Hashem saw that it was good. Who's doing the seeing here? Hashem is doing the seeing here, right? So the Rambam includes in his list of what it means of this idea of Re'ia being Hasaga Sichlis, which is always what it means by Hashem. He includes one of his examples as an example of where Hashem is the one doing the seeing. When Hashem sees something, says the Rambam, the idea of sight, either to or of Hashem, is hasaga sichlis, is grasping something, is coming to an understanding of something, coming to grasp something. So when Hashem, when it says that Hashem saw, also it means that Hashem, so to speak, grasped that point. To use the word, for lack of a better term, that Hashem understood that was going on, right? And that's when we say that Hashem was ra'ar, that Hashem saw, right? Vayar elokim ki tov, or erga na ve'ereh, and all of these things of Hashem seeing, that's Hashem becoming aware, that it's grasping that thing, becoming aware in an active kind of way of that point that's going on in the world, right? Kol ze asaga sichlis, lo esayin klal, it's always going to refer to an intellectual vision, has nothing to do with seeing with the eyes. So this is the idea, and we're going to try and build off of this next week, of this being really the thrust of where the Rambam is coming from, and why all the psukim that he brings are psukim about Hashem's re'ia. So we're going to discuss more next week this point of exactly the significance of what it means that God sees things now, that God has a re'ia, which means he's looking now and seeing something that's happened there. But just before we go further, I just want to point something out, a conceptual point. The faculty of vision is, there's two main ways in which we assimilate information. We have, you know, the sense of smell and taste, which really don't have to do so much with assimilating information. We have the sense of sight and hearing, which are the two that are we call them the most sichli, the most associated with the seichel of how we assimilate information. If you think about it, the big difference between the two, there are several differences between the two, and if we were going to just have a separate shiur about the sense of sight and the sense of hearing, we could probably, you know, tie them all together and see what the theme is. But just to point out one point, the sense of hearing always works over a duration of time, right? When you hear something, so you're putting together, right? Music is a great example of this. One note is nothing, and a bunch of notes in a vacuum are meaningless. They don't sound like anything. It's only the sequence of notes put together in the right way, one after the other, that makes a beautiful sound. It's only the sequence of syllables coming together one after the other that are combined in the mind into a coherent sentence. The faculty of hearing is always interpreted into, translated into a meaningful thought, into a meaningful message over a duration of time, as opposed to the faculty of sight. The faculty of sight can have instances where something is, you know, increased the appreciation of it by putting, you know, contrasting it or building up, you know, something more. But in a vacuum, the faculty of sight takes a snapshot, which is the information in it is self-contained in each snapshot. If you're seeing an event unfold over time, you're going to have a series of snapshots. But each one of those snapshots was the totality of the information of that moment in one moment. You look at a picture, right? You look at a picture and you see everything that the picture is trying to capture. That's a split second, right? If your picture, if the exposure, right? Harav Myers will be able to tell you more about this, but your exposure time is longer, so the longer your exposure time of the picture is, the more fuzzy the picture becomes. The clearest, most crisp picture is the picture with the shortest exposure time, captures only that one tiny instant, and that one tiny instant creates the clearest picture of what was at that moment. When you show the picture to someone else, they see all of the information contained in that picture, which is just the snapshot of one moment. And that's the idea of Re'iyah. The idea of Re'iyah is a piece of information which is confined to one moment. It's confined to right now. And that's exactly the type of hasaga, the type of information that we're trying to stress, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is masig something as it is right now. It's a momentary, it's an in-the-moment comprehension of what's going on in the world. That's exactly the focus. That's why we're not focused on the Rambam is not bringing psukim. The psukim about Hashem hearing. But the philosophical point that the Rambam is trying to make is most accurately, most pointedly expressed through Hashem seeing through vision, because the faculty of Re'iyah, the faculty of vision, is something which is instantaneous. So I want to just see this idea as it's expressed in one other mode of thought. Now the Rambam himself does not talk about any of these things that we're going to see, and I do not plan on discussing what the Rambam's view on Kabbalah was. The commonly stated view of the Rambam was that he did not hold of Kabbalah. There are some who say that he just didn't know about Kabbalah, that he didn't have there was no one who taught him Kabbalah, therefore he didn't have a tradition in it. And there are some who say that the Rambam was very secretive about a lot of things, and Kabbalah in the time of the Rambam itself was very secretive. There was not, you know, the open discussion that we have, that all the things that we have about Kabbalah really started shortly after the Rambam, the son of the Ravid, Rabbi Tzvi Nahor, and his Talmidim, Rabbeinu Ezra, Rabbeinu Azariah, and then from there the Ramban, and the kind of explosion of Kabbalah out into the public was something that happened only after the Rambam's time. So it's completely possible. I'm not pushing this view. I'm just pointing out it's completely possible that the Rambam didn't talk about Kabbalah just because no one else, just like everyone else who would say they didn't talk about Kabbalah because it was kept secret. The Chachamim who knew it didn't speak about it publicly. Not going to discuss the merits of any of those arguments. Just point out that the Rambam himself did not discuss most of these Kabbalistic ideas. And what we're about to see is the Ramchal, his presentation of a very mystical perspective on this whole idea, but it's the same yesod, it's the same principle being expressed in the terms that Kabbalah will express them. So we're going to, how much time will we have? Okay, I think we'll have time to read most of this inside. We're going to read it very quickly because my point is not all of the details, but just the big picture that comes out here. So this is Derech Hashem, Chelek Beis, Perek Hey, Perek Vav, Os Beis. So the Ramchal says, V'hine, who is Barach Shmo, Mofia B'chol Sanhedrin Sa'ila. So I have to give a little bit of an introduction. The Ramchal has just finished saying that in heaven, there is a parallel structure, really express it the other way around. On earth, there is a parallel structure to that which exists in heaven. The way that there is a heavenly court, and the heavenly court functions the same way that the earthly court functions. There are tiers, there is a high court and a low court, and they have prosecutors, and they have defendants, and they have testimony, and they have all of these things happen in the heavenly court. And he says, V'hine hu yisbach shmo mofia b'kos en hadros ha'ila. HaKadosh Baruch himself presents himself, so to speak, in all of these courts. Umashbiya bam, and his influence is what sustains them. Umamidam al tokan inyan b'emes, and he's sustaining the existence of these courts. They're not something that are independent from him. Sheyete mishpat lamito, and make sure that everything works out the way it's supposed to work. Veyeshmas and hadros HaKadosh Baruch Hu sham larosh, and some of these courts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is, so to speak, the Av Beis Din. He's the one, you know, running that court. Ukeinyan shenema reisias Hashem yoshev al kiso that kol tzva shemaim omed alav miyamino smolo paskin malachim, that I saw Hashem sitting on his throne and all of the hosts of heaven were standing to his right and to his left. That's, he says, is referring to upirshu rachamim zirchon levracha elu maiminim leskurf elu masmilim kolo. What does that mean, that all the heavenly hosts, all the heavenly powers were to the right and to the left? These ones were to the right. They were maiminim leskos. They were presenting the arguments of merit, and these were presenting the arguments of chovah. So Hashem was sitting at the head of this heavenly court. Va'amar Daniel, and Daniel said, "Ad dekas." Okay, we're not going to find this. The Amnam. Turn to the next page. Iker hadavar kachu. The main point is, kvar be'arnu l'mala, kama min hadikduk nimtza b'dino shal kol ish v'ish. That we've already explained, it's already been discussed, how careful the din, the judgment on each individual person is. Kihini b'chlau ish min ha'anashem yimtzu tanos rabos. With each person, there are many different tainas, there are many different claims that lefisibo shonos for different reasons. Lios nidona ish ha'hu adrachem rabam midakim mishpat. Based on which he could be judged one way or the other. In the specifics within each thing, the kol masa masim, and within each action that he did, you have an element of skos and an element of kova, that in some ways it was a good action, in some ways it was a bad action. The Nevi'im Chaim says that that's the pshat, and it says that that there's no such thing as a tzad. How does the puzzle go? Who will do good and not sin. The Nefesh HaChaim says those are not two different things. He'll do good and he also won't sin. As he'll do good and not sin, that within his doing good, he won't sin, meaning that within an action, there are, you know, the purity of the intent of the action and the carefulness of it, and all these things, that even within your action, even within your good deeds, your ma'asim tovim, there's the bad of it. There can be deficiencies. Ki kol inyanei olam rokavim b'harkavos rabos emes. All of the everything that happens in the world is, it exists in layers. It's very complicated. Nimshachim adrachim shonim. The ulam, however, kol ha'bechinos ha'mikios ha'ila, Misgalos bevate dimel yoram eilam amitim. All of these things are presented clearly in their authentic manner in these heavenly courts. The kol echad min atzava nimta, but also beizdin misgalol if you inyan achas min apinos. And each of these appearances in Bezin, some element is presented. Achaven kula misgalos bechinos kulan. Until between all of them, every aspect of this person and every aspect of all of his actions is presented. Lo nivra davar, and nothing is left out. Va'az yishakel enyan lefi kol bechinos amitios ahein, and then everything is weighed out. Vateitze gzera kefi hanos, and then the gzera is brought out according to the as is appropriate. Right, at the end of the paragraph, he repeats that there's these bate dinim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the one who's running it. There are other bate dinim than that there is some other heavenly entity which is the Rosh of that Beis Din, right? And it'll be carried out according to that. Skipping down to Gimel here, Nimtza, this is what I really wanted to get to. Nimtza l'fisho is that, according to this principle that we've laid down, She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu danes olam bebechinas yediyaso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not judge the world according to his yediyah. He judges the world according to the system that he set up for the world. Nothing comes to be judged in these heavenly courts until the agents that are in charge of bringing this whole system about bring it to happen. Meaning, Shehine Hivki Bechefri Zvach Shemo Pekidim in Asud HaMalach. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned a certain type of angel, Sheyashgichu Al Kol Inyanam Ahuvim Ba'olam, to be in charge, to oversee everything that is happening presently in the world. The Eila Yavol based in Shalmala, they come up to the Beis Din Shalmala, the Ya'idu Al Advam Sheisigu V'Nigalah, and they testify about everything that they saw and everything that was revealed to them. V'Ad Yavol Inyan B'Mishpat, and everything that these angelic agents bring up to Shemayim, that is what is brought into the heavenly court, and that is what the Mishpat, the heavenly judgment, is carried out on. Kvar zacharti pa'amim, I've already mentioned, she'ein re'inyanam e'ilam nimshachim achar yidiyas yizvach shelo. These things are not carried out according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yidiyah, according to the knowledge that he has. Ki lo hayu shum echam e'inyanam e'ilam tzrichim lo, because none of these things would be necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what we were discussing before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yidiyah is absolute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this inherent complete knowledge of everything that happens in creation, every detail. Shakol Tzafri L'Fanav Me'olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresees everything that's ever going to happen from the beginning. Ela Shekein Gavo V'Sidar V'Chachmasa HaNifla, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up this whole arrangement with in his Chachma. He set up this whole system which does not work according to the fact that God knows what happens because he knows. There's a system that's built into the world in which things are, they devolve to a system of judgment, that as things happen, they're brought into the court, and then the court judges them, and then the Mishpat comes according to these courts. And this is how the world is guided, is dealt with. And this is the idea that the Pesukim are referring to in a number of verses. Like it says, Vayerad Hashem Liros, Hashem went down to see. The eyes of Hashem are floating or surfacing over the land. All these verses of Hashem seeing, or Hashem's messengers going into the world, all these types of psukim, all of these things about Hashem's seeing what's going on in the world is referring to this method of Hashem's dealing with the world. Kafi Hasadam Shasida, according to the system that he set up. And all of these angels and these messengers and these agents that Hashem has set up to be mashkiach, to oversee and to guide the world and judge the world and make the din and all these things and to testify about them, those are called Einei Hashem. That's the eyes of Hashem. Shebehi galoso yisbach shemo ha'acha mebadi dinim lishbon inyan me'inyan kigon inyan bone ha'migdal v'azna, right? Vayer Hashem lilos v'chein kol kiyotu bazeh. And all of these things where Hashem is damning what's happening now, it says Hashem went to see. So the Ramchal in a much different framework, but is expressing the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, from being Hashem and being the point of origin of the world, has an absolute knowledge of everything that happens. And from, so to speak, God's perspective, there's no point in viewing things as they happen. But God, in the structure of the world that he set up a system, a heavenly court system, which actually functions like a real court system, that there's evidence brought in, and they judge it, and they examine it, and they see if it's this way or that way, and they bring out a din on that, and a whole divine heavenly system, and then judge it as it is now, which is completely not commensurate with the method and through which God knows things. God set up in the world a way in which the world, the spiritual world, is reactionary to the actions of man. That what we do is viewed as it happens, is judged in a way which is not on the level of Hashem's knowledge of what happens, and the din is carried out according to that. And that's what it means that God sees. This whole method of judging events as they happen, that there's a whole system that God set up to take the events, not in his direct knowledge, but in a system which is set up within the world, that's the idea of God seeing, which means that God is looking at the world from the lens of within the world, not from the level of his own idea of his own knowledge, but within the system that he set up in the world, he judges the world within that system in a way that looks at events as they happen. One last thing I wanted to see here, I guess we won't read this whole thing inside, but this is from Das Tvunos. So the Ramchal and Das Tvunos talks about two different aspects of existence. He's talking about there's things that come from Haaretz Panim and Hesper Panim, God's open revelation and God's being hidden. And it says that physicality exists as within the framework of God being hidden. And he explains that God set up the body in the physical world as a tozah, a result of the hester, of the hiddenness, in such a way that it parallels the spiritual reality and God's hashgacha in such a way that we can learn from looking at our body, looking at the things that we were given to relate to, that they give us the methodology of having a point of access to understand some spiritual reality. And one of the first example he gives, so skipping to the bottom of this page, it says, Ki b'kol ha-mi, second to last line on this page here, Ki b'kol ha-midos ha-ma'ulos asher nivchanim b'tvodo yisbar, all of those lofty midos that Hashem has, b'yosu polo fi erach nivrav, when he acts with the world, kach nimtza chalakim b'dmot ha-adam, hazeh, you find parallels to them in man. Derek Mashal, give you an analogy, says Ramchal. Ayin, the eye, tachas ayin hashtachas o mashkiach al kol yoshe arts ladun es kol maaseim, is corresponding to the eye of hashgacha, which looks at all of the presences in the world to judge their actions. Kinyan shenemar er danav er, I will go down and I will see lalamed chashein lo adayin elamash ein avros, which teaches you that a judge is only supposed to deal with the world as he sees it. So this Ramchal is telling us, you know, the only reason we really have eyes is to teach us about what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has eyes. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have eyes like we do, physical eyes that see physical things, but we are given a framework in which we can relate to spiritual vision by understanding our own vision. Our own vision is what sees what's in front of us, right? That's what I was talking about before, that Re'iyah is a moment by moment. You see things as they are in front of you, as they happen. Re'iyah is a thing of you see the present. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is that the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is Ein L'Dayin El Mash Ein Avros, that you only work with what you see, which is what we've been talking about until now. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, his own Yediyah, is all-encompassing. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu restricts himself, so to speak, to only work with what he sees. He works with the world as it is in front of him at any given moment in time. That's the idea. Our eye is supposed to teach us about how the ayin of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the ayin of Hashgacha works, is that you see the world, that is, you see what's in front of you, and that's what Hashgacha is seeing things as they are now, seeing things as they happen, being actively involved as events unfold. So next week we'll try and go from there into what's the real dispute between the Rambam and those that he was coming to counter was, and we'll pick up next week.